tonight, let's look at Lazarus. The kids should probably know this story. So we'll look at some of these things. And there's a few things in there again that's... I guess it doesn't give us an example to follow, obviously. But it helps us realize that what goes on today is no different than went on to the Gospels. It's just that the way Jesus was treated and his teachings were treated. Because really, rejecting Paul's teachings is rejecting Jesus' teachings. Right? I mean, these are not Paul's teachings. These are Jesus' teachings that he taught to Paul. So, the way Jesus was treated and disrespected, and they tried to stone him, and did not believe him, his own family did not believe him. If we follow Paul, try to do our best to follow Paul, we'll go through the same things. So, maybe we realize that kind of a benefit. Maybe we see a few more things tonight that ought to be interesting. I did have somebody say to me today, White Cotton's on there? They didn't show it up yet. That Tim and I were talking this morning, and he said, reading the Gospels now is just a totally different... He actually enjoys reading the Gospels historically and seeing how it even ties in with us today, not doctrinally, but how the truth was treated and the Jewish thing. And he said it's become extremely interesting to him. For before, it was a battle. All the threats and the fears of what you're being taught, and it mixed with what you were taught with Paul's books and the stuff in Jude, and there's mixes in there. That bothered him. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Parentheses. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Have the italicized words meant more to you now that we've kind of talked about it and known that they weren't never found the manuscripts for it, but it's in there and then they find them? Just little things that shows the inspiration of this book, I believe. Therefore, his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now, you might hear a few things here that you've been taught that I think you're going to see some change here just a little bit. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. So there's the reason why Lazarus is sick, and that's very important to remember, why he's going to die here. Even though it says it's not unto death, but he does die. So is Jesus a liar? Was he wrong here, that the Son of God might be glorified? So this whole thing is about Jesus getting glory. It's the first thing they're told. Now remember that. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now, isn't that what we all do when we find out somebody's sick? We stay home. We don't go see him. No, we try to contact him pretty quickly, if you can. So he hears about it, so he stays there for 2 more days. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Key word is again. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Why do you want to go back and go through that thing all over again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Okay. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, who always seem to never have it all together with what's going on, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly. Sometimes we need a good, plain statement. Not yet. He says, Lazarus is dead. That's plain. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. So he's glad he wasn't there when he died. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already, which is not a good thing. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. That's what you do. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Oof. That's how she's thinking. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Back to having faith again. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Now, there's about as plain as you can get it. When he says that you need to believe in me, and she says what it is that she has to believe in the fact that he is the Christ. That is not what we have to have for salvation. We cannot go to the Gospels to teach people salvation unless you're going to teach them the full teaching in the Gospels, and that is to believe that he was the Christ. That's what Gospels are full of. We're seeing that through John especially. 26 again, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe. What does she believe? That thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Over and over, that's what we're finding out in the Gospels. And when she had said, when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now here we go with a couple of good verses. We're not just going to read tonight, but a couple of verses here. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Now, why? Was it because Lazarus died and he was his best buddy, that kind of a thing? And said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. It doesn't say why Jesus wept, but it says he wept. It says he groaned in the spirit and was troubled in verse 33. 35, he wept. 36, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Now here's why Jesus wept. Here's why he was groaning in the spirit. Here's why he groaned as he's going to the grave. Yes, Jesus could have healed him and could have kept him, all that stuff. Of course he could have. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Now go back to verse 4, if you would please. When he finds out that Lazarus is sick, and he says the sickness is not unto death, but he dies. But what he says is, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. So what should have happened here was, he's sick, they get a hold of Jesus, the Son of God, knowing that the Son of God is going to be glorified, knowing that he's coming to see Lazarus, and the Son of God says that he's not going to die, and he dies, then the response should have been, oh, right, Jesus, he died. Jesus is going to have to bring him back. This is going to be exciting. That's what they should have been like. So when he sees them weeping, and the Jews also weeping, see, if she'd have been joyous, the Jews would have been joyous. No, they would have been puzzled. It's like going to somebody's funeral and they're thrilled that my husband or my wife is gone. They're up with the Lord and they're happy and all happy for him and the whole thing. And these lost people that they don't understand, they got no hope, they have no hope, that type of a thing. They have no idea what, how can this be? That type of a thing. And when you sang your solo for Bill, you know, at your funeral, so many people were shocked that you could do that. Well, why? I mean, yes, it's hard. You get stuck with by yourself and anybody else that's in the nearby premises, and you'd much rather have Bill around, but this is the way it goes, and you sang a song, and you sang all the way through it. It's still hard and emotional kind of stuff, but hey, he's, like you said to the guy, he's not here. And people can't handle that sort of a thing. She could have really had a marvelous testimony here, but he saw her weeping. And so were the other Jews. He groaned in the spirit. Ah, why? Why do they have to be weeping? I mean, I'm here. I'm the Son of God. I told her he's not going to die. So he's dead. I'll fix it. And why are they so upset? Where have you laid him? Verse 34 again. Jesus wept. Why did he weep? Why did he weep? Even the other Jews said, listen, can't this guy open the eyes of the blind? Surely he can keep somebody from dying. Verse 37. 38, Jesus must have heard that because he's groaning in himself as he goes to the grave. Why does he have to be so sad about Lazarus when he's going to bring him back? That can't be why Jesus was weeping and crying. And he says in 40 again, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Why aren't you jumping for joy? I'm here. I'm going to bring him back. Not a problem. Then they took away the stone, verse 41, from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Heard him. Where did he pray? Must have been one of those you just do. No fancy one there. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it. That they may believe that thou hast sent me. Isn't that wild right there? He prayed out loud so the other people would hear him pray. You ever done that? You pray this marvelous prayer because everybody else is going to hear it and be impressed or whatever. He's not doing to impress people. He's doing it so people would believe that he's who he is. He didn't have to do that. I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. Isn't it kind of a sidelight thing? But I knew that thou hearest me always, verse 42. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. This whole purpose was for these Jews to see that he's the Son of God. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Pretty rough, huh? I mean, this guy's wrapped up, just wrapped up. And yet, well, let's keep going here. And his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Well, sure. I mean, here's a guy that's bound head, hand, and foot, and he comes out of there. And we've all read this story. I bet you most of you thought about this. Now, how did he come out? Did he roll out of there? Did he? Because his feet are bound. How do you do when your feet are wrapped up and your body's wrapped up in napkins and stuff and you can't even see? And he came out of there. I mean, did he, boink, 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 his feet tied together, boink, boink, boink. How did he come out of there? I mean, Danica, how did he come out of there? He's wrapped up, Caitlin. He's wrapped up feet and everything. Tied up. I mean, that's what they do to these bodies in those days. They just wrap them up. How did he get out? Just came out. Just says he came out. Came forth. He did. He was dead. He that was dead came forth. Well, you know, many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed him. That was the purpose right there. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. There you go. There you go. I mean, here's this marvelous thing that was done. And somebody's got to go whining and complaining to somebody else somewhere about the wrongness of what this thing was. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, "What do we do? For this man doeth many miracles." What are we going to do about this guy? Now, if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. We certainly wouldn't want that. We certainly wouldn't want anybody to believe what this book says, right? So we got to do something about that. "And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation." There goes their money and that kind of a thing, their livelihood. "And one of them, named Caiaphas, I guess, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, 'Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad.'" Not a very happy guy. Is it back? Still not back? Right. "Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. And all he did was bring back a guy from the dead. And it was a place for the Son of God to be glorified. And when the Son of God was glorified, the people that don't believe get mad. And when this book is glorified and Jesus Christ is glorified and his word is magnified, even above his name, people are going to get mad. And if people hear about Paul, which is the risen Christ teachings, they're going to get mad. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, you know what you've learned. And don't you just wonder, isn't there somebody that would still like to hear the risen Christ teachings? I said this morning, I still have this intense desire to go down south or go down to the east where there's four churches on the corner. You've seen them. You're probably down in all that. Baptist churches, every corner. Boink, 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 boink. They all got the gymnasium, the paved parking lot, and the whole spiel. And they transfer membership all the time because they kind of get tired of the pastor for this thing for a while. So they go to one over here for a while. They just play musical churches all the time, and they got them all over the place. And I still can't help but think there must be some of these people or some of these pastors that are frustrated with this whole thing. And to ask them, are you teaching the risen Christ's teachings? Just little questions like that. I just want to talk to people about that. Well, how's your church doing? How many people do you have? Are you well-liked? Do the people have good fellowships? Do you do all these kind of things? Listen, all I want to ask you is, do you teach the risen Christ teachings? That kind of a thing. Can I show you how to get excited about your Bible again? Me. No, it's not me. It's the excitement of this Bible, which is what I hope the website will be, or has been. Hope we can get more going. I don't know. So then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. Things are going to heat up now. Got it? Jesus, therefore, are they still there? Good. Moon Fixer make it? Probably had Indiana. Jesus, therefore, walked no more openly among the Jews. And isn't that interesting? That's interesting to me because up until this time, wasn't he able to prevent himself from being hurt, stoned, and the whole thing? So he still walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. He knew he wasn't wanted there. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple. What think ye, that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment, that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. Isn't that nice? Aren't those the kind of friends to have? Just looking to get you. Chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. So we're past a few days there. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? I mean, why did you have to do that? We could have done more of that kind of stuff. This, he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Sometimes people act like they really care. And quite often they don't. You got another alternate thinking there. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. So we know what's coming up here. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. And I read that today, and I'm looking at that, it reminded me of a Bible conference that we have nowadays. People don't usually go to Bible conferences anymore to hear what the Bible has to say to them. They want to go and see some historical pastor draw something. Or they want to hear this guy that's been around for 80 years and he's got the world's largest Sunday school or something. Or here's another guy that's whatever he's famous for. Or there's another guy what he's famous for. And they put all these people's pictures on there. And now, for a while, I used to complain the fact that these Bible conferences, they were always advertising the musical groups that were coming. You got the Rochesters, and you got the Andersons, and you got the Marshalls, and you got all these groups coming in to sing. And then down in the bottom of the poster was who's going to preach. The names, and that was all they had. Now I've noticed that the music groups are pretty big print, and they're off to the sides as well. But now we got pictures of these pastors and all that they've done, or some of the comments that they've done. Marvelous things, marvelous things. So I guess when you have such a track record, you ought to be able to attract a crowd. And here we have these people. Jesus was there. But it says they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus. It's pretty wild to see Lazarus because they knew that he had died. Pretty spectacular. Let's go see Lazarus. Yeah, they're worth to put up with the preaching, but that's okay. They're good preaching, good teachings. We'll hear that stuff. But, verse 10, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. I mean, this guy just doesn't stand a chance. He dies from a sickness. Jesus comes and he brings him back alive. And he goes to this dinner. And these priests want to come and they want to kill him again. Why? Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Now, if you want to say if you want to apply that to what I just said about the conferences, that's okay. Some of those preachers at these Bible conferences will really teach you something good about your Bible. I remember a long time ago, we had a Bible conference back in New York, and this new guy, can't think of his name. We had all the famous fancy guys there at this thing. Music was all singing loud and everything, and then this guy got up there. Lockport, New York, cannot think of his name. And he preached very dully. Dully, D-U-L-L. Just kind of had a monotone voice, and he kept doing scriptures, and he kept saying some things, and he kept doing scriptures, and he said a couple things, did some scriptures, said a couple things, did some scriptures. And by the time he was done, it was almost like there was blood in the aisles. He really preached up a good storm. But what he said, how he said anything, is that he presented the Bible like our crowd hadn't even heard before back in those days. It was like refreshing to hear a guy preach all this Bible stuff. Then we had another guy come by a couple times, Dave Mizell, and he has that Tourette syndrome, where he could not hold still, and his body was constantly jumping out of joint, back into joint, his elbows, his fingers. He could not stand still. His jaw would jerk out of joint and jerk back into joint. It's like going to a chiropractor 24/7 in constant pain. I mean, it was just the craziest thing. And he was kind of the thing up here, and he would preach the Bible. And I'll tell you, this guy, most of what he said was scripture. There was a few comments. And I remember I tried to keep up with all the scriptures he was saying, because I recognized what was going on. I've seen him before. I couldn't even keep up with him. He was just so fast. And an amazing thing. So there are people that preach at these Bible conferences that really do have something to say if they preach the book like they need to preach it. And then you see the testimony of these people that go through what they go through in order to do that. Can you imagine having your elbow jerked out of, your shoulder jerked out of joint, just while you're standing there talking, the nerves, shoulder right out, then your elbow at the same time, boom, there goes your ankle, you know, and back in. The pain he had was just tremendous. Well, sad to say, he's given into the modern Christianity world. I looked him up a while ago. Just sad to see that happen. And I do believe it's because he knew nothing about rightly dividing. I look back at some of his sermon titles, and there was no rightly dividing. That's very important, rightly dividing. It's very important. So here we have, they wanted to kill this Lazarus because of his testimony, which such that people believed on Christ. Now, on Jesus. Now, remember, what it was did they have to believe? Where's the verse that says what it was they had to believe in this chapter? Somebody tell me the verse. I mean, chapter 11. Where's the verse in chapter 11 that says what it was that they had, when it says, and the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Where's that verse at? You got to be able to have one verse to show somebody somewhere. Somebody say the number. See, now, what good is it to me show you this if you're not going to remember the number? You got to show this to somebody somewhere when you say, well, the gospel teachings taught that they had to believe that he was the Christ. Not any faith and trust in him for our salvation. Okay, verse 27. Remember? 26. Believest thou this? Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. She saith to him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ. There's one of your proof texts that that's what they had to believe in the Gospels. There's a lot of people that believe Jesus Christ has died, buried, rose again. And yes, he is the Christ, but they've never put their trust and faith in him. Their works, their baptisms, their whatever they try to do. So here we have just an example, and we'll stop there, because the rest of it has a different kind of a thing going on here. Now let's go a little bit more here. We're going to go more here, or we're going to stop there? Yeah, a little bit more. On the next day, I stopped a little too soon. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel, that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, the King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. Here's Lazarus again. The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done the miracle. So his testimony went on and went on. Lazarus had a good testimony. He was raised from the dead. And they wanted to see who the man was that did it. So they show up to do that. And then here at verse 19 again. These Pharisees, you know. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world has gone after him." So, you've got an illustration here. In Jesus' time, Jesus did the miracle, and the miracle purpose of that miracle was to glorify him. And not only did he get in trouble for it, the person that participated in the miracle got in trouble for it. And they still tried to take care of both of them, get rid of both of them. And yet that miracle testimony went out to other people. And yet through it all, there's always those Pharisees that want to destroy the miracle worker, and the miracle worked. And we see that here. Now, again, I think the thing that we can look at as we go through the Gospels is I'm not talking about the church or anything like that. I'm talking about this Bible. This Bible has done miracles in people's lives. Not physical, but spiritual workers, spiritual miracles. There's even physical ones, I shouldn't say that, even physical ones. We get testimony from the website people quite a bit. A lot of things have changed in their lives just because suddenly this Bible now makes sense to them. And God isn't going to do any kind of a magic thing to change anything. He gave us a Bible to tell us how to please God. And he said, listen, remember I said it this morning, all things are lawful. Not so we can just go do anything we want and check to see if it's any good or not. No, because we aim and we try to do all these things right as we're his workmanship, saved unto good works, not having to worry about that there's any law to clobber us when we slip up. It's just a mental state. And so this Bible causes changes in people's lives. But not because of the Gospels, but because of Paul's teachings. And when that's taking place, there's always somebody somewhere that wants to go after the Bible. Go after the preacher. Go after the missionaries. Go after, you know, whatever. No, the purpose of what they're doing is they're going after the Bible. The Bible is the one that does the cutting. And it's always easy to go after somebody else instead of the Bible. Been there, done that. I mean, I've done this before. I know what it's like. And it's the Bible that was getting me. So, we're going to see some things in John that we've been seeing already that'll straighten out some doctrinal things. But we'll also see that that's how the Bible's treated too. And it's really pretty interesting. It's quite a book when you understand it. And just like Tim said, reading the Gospels now is totally different than he's ever read it before. And he's really enjoying reading it.